Good morning, a Wednesday morning with our political observer, Alan Shartok. Alan, this morning, let's start in New York. Legislative leaders in Albany have announced a deal on new tenant protections for millions of New York City apartment dwellers. Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins and Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie announced the agreement last night. It includes restrictions on rental increases in rent-stabilized units and authorizing cities throughout the state to create their own rent rules. Agreement expected to get the vote this week in the legislature. And in your conversations with Governor Cuomo, he said he'll sign whatever they pass.
Well, obviously, it's like going to see a finely tuned dance piece. He knew what was going to happen, obviously. And as I have said, he was sticking them like the picador with the bull and making it so that he would get the credit for having brought them together. They were trying to make common cause so that they would get the credit for doing it. But in the end, there was a huge sigh of relief on the part of people whose houses were protected to some degree, and I mean to some degree, by rent control laws. Now that they had both the Senate and the Assembly, the Democrats, they had to do something, but they couldn't afford to really tick off the upstate communities that didn't want it. So they punted, and they gave the power in upstate communities to do these rent regulations to the individual places. Well, they may end up, and I think they have to some degree in some of the plans, doing the same thing with marijuana. You don't want it, you don't have to have it. Hey, in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, we wanted marijuana reform. You know what? Many places don't in New York, and they're hearing about it, and that's probably one of the reasons why we don't have it in New York State. In any case, folks are coming over the line, giving the tax money and everything else to little Great Barrington. I was in an affair last night for the great Ann Erickson, who was our board member and retiring, and this was our goodbye party. And somebody came up to me and said, boy, there are an awful lot of New York State licenses at the marijuana shop in Great Barrington that's open. And I think sanity prevailed here because the Senate, in the rent control point, has to be wary of protecting their upstate members whose communities may not want this. So it wasn't a slam dunk, and they kept getting prodded by the governor to do something. And he said, I'm going to sign it no matter what they do. And that put tremendous pressure on them and away from him. So it worked out.
It hasn't worked out in terms of a hearing yesterday where John Stewart, Alan, scolded Congress, very emotional, for failing to ensure that the victims' compensation fund set up after the 9/11 attacks doesn't run out of money. He angrily called out lawmakers for missing a hearing Tuesday on a bill that would ensure the fund can pay benefits for the next 70 years. He called the sparse attendance an embarrassment to the country and a stain on this institution.
Hey, David, one of the things that we are seeing here is that people who have the public's eye get tremendous attention. Sometimes they do it for good, sometimes for evil. Let me give you the second case, and that is we have a president of the United States. He got elected because he had a television show. I think in large part he's a salesman, and in large part that's what happened. He didn't get the majority of the votes, but he did it. And so Stewart gets up there, and we're talking about it this morning, and he is doing the right thing, and he's calling attention to it. Congress holds its finger up in the air to see which way the wind is blowing. And if they don't think that there's a tremendous return from it, they don't do it. That's what he said, and he's right. You know, they've got to do their job. They get there on Tuesday, they leave there shortly thereafter, and it's sausage-making 101, and we can just follow it.
Well, all eyes followed the president and the top Democratic candidate for president in 2020, former Vice President Joe Biden, yesterday. They were in Iowa trading barbs and dueling rallies, and this on the heels of a Quinnipiac poll now that finds Joe Biden ahead of President Trump 53-40%.
Well, that's impressive. And now you can believe that this president, who is scared to death about not being president, because there is a lot of speculation. If he's not president, he's going to be prosecuted, criminally prosecuted. Forget about impeachment. And if that's the case, he's in a lot of trouble. So if he sees himself losing now by 17 points and underwater, as they say, in all of the key states he won in, that's bad news for him. I think the last thing I saw, he was even underwater in Texas, of all places. So if, in fact, Beto O'Rourke stops running for president, he can't be president, and runs for Senate there, that may indicate that he could win. He came close last time, but he could win. Those are the kinds of things that have to scare the heck out of an awful lot of Republicans, because right now it's assumed they're going to keep the Senate, but something like that could mean the end for them in terms of both houses of Congress.
Alan, Massachusetts, so-called millionaire's tax, 4% extra levy on residents who earn $1 million a year is expected to be coming up as the House and Senate hold the Constitution Convention on Beacon Hill to go before the voters in 2022.
Well, you know, it's interesting. People assume that soak the rich is a good mantra. The people who are making all of that money, they should pay more. I happen to believe in that. But then again, I don't make $1 million a year, so it's better to have somebody else pay that. On the other hand, there's that certain je ne sais quoi, that certain something in most people, which is someday I'm going to be a millionaire, and I don't want them taking my money when I'm a millionaire, you know, making $1 million a year. That's why we have a lottery. That's why so much happens that is sometimes irrational, but understandable.
House Democrats yesterday moved to receive court enforcement for subpoenas of Attorney General William Barr and former White House counsel Don McGahn. We spoke about this escalation in their battle yesterday.
Well, David, good luck to them. Obviously, this is going to go to the courts, and it could well go to the Supreme Court. And then we'll see whether our institutions serve us or don't serve us. I got my doubts on this one, but I just hope that rationality prevails here and that those subpoenas stand up. Because that's why our founders designed three branches of government.